Good morning, Dominica. Welcome again to the Hot Seat. Dominica's most talked about talk show. We have a very distinguished professor in the house with us for a few minutes this morning. Let us say good morning to my good friend this morning. How are you this morning?
I am very well.
Who's going to do the official introduction for her?
I will introduce her.
All right, good.
This evening, we are having our 8th annual Dame Eugenia Charles Memorial Lecture. That is the UWE Open Campus in collaboration with Fort Young Hotel. And as usual, the Memorial Lecture will be held at Fort Young Hotel at 7:30. And our presenter this year is Miss Cynthia Barrow-Giles, who is a political science lecturer at UWE Cave Hill. And she will speak to the issue of men in skirts, gender and democracy, and shaping the nation, the unfinished democratic agenda.
That's a big one there. Let's see how much we can find out this morning about what's on the agenda for tonight at the Fort Young Hotel. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, and thank you for hosting me.
I'm happy to be hosting you this morning. It is my privilege always to entertain the University of the West Indies and the many lecturers they have brought to Dominica over the years. Men in skirts, we're going to get straight to it this morning because of time limitations, I imagine. This is a packed program. Men in skirts, gender and democracy, and shaping the nation. You know, before the break, I said, why not women in pants? But I guess we'll find out about that. Good morning to you again. Can you sort of break this down for us? It seems like a mouthful here.
Well, I would say essentially the topic is about democracy and how far the Caribbean countries have gone in relation to democratic development and consolidation. And when we look at the democracies in the Caribbean, although the argument is that we have been relatively successful, there are a number of gaps or dysfunctionalities in terms of our political model. And so this particular lecture, although we're going to just simply look at some of those strengths and weaknesses, I'm also looking at the extent to which Caribbean countries unfortunately seem to have been locked in what they have achieved since, say, the 1960s, etc. So that although we were one of the first countries in the developing world to embrace democracy, unfortunately many of those developing countries have gone way past us, especially in relation to some of those gaps which I'm talking about. And one of those gaps, of course, is to further include women in the political process.
Let's talk about democracy in the region. How far do you think we have come, and how much more you think we have to do, and why a number of these Caribbean countries still lagging behind as it relates to the, you know, the democratic model, if you will?
What I would say, to when we look at the Caribbean, there's absolutely no doubt that the success we have been able to achieve is phenomenal. There's no two ways about it. Given the limitations of economic growth and development, we have been able to do very well at the political level. However, again, without exposing too much about tonight's lecture, we will note, and I'm sure you have discussed in your programs over and over again, that the political leaders have been failing us, that in a number of respects. That secondly, we also see that there seem to be increasing, I would say, disengagement on the part of Caribbean people in terms of the political system. Unfortunately, the political system also have not provided, I think, adequate channels or opportunities for people to participate beyond calling radio stations like yours, which is not really a function of the political institution itself. And of course, participating in elections. But even when you look at election statistics, you will note that there has been overall a general decline in the participation. So that, and there are some things that unfortunately...
Are people in the Caribbean disappointed?
I think there are a number...
Hence the lack of participation.
Well, there are a number of reasons for that. One, of course, clearly is that I think people have been disillusioned by the politics. Secondly, in some parts of the Caribbean, not all parts of the Caribbean, there clearly is an issue of elections not being exactly competitive. So that it begs the question, why turn up to vote in any event if the outcome of the election is already known? And so what we are saying is that clearly you need to ensure that there is a system where political parties are in fact more competitive, that one political party does not dominate the political scene for an overextended period of time. Because there are questions, therefore, about the turnover. There are questions about the quality of the democracy there. So that's one issue. Well, there are a whole host of issues, and I suppose if you ask specific questions, I'll be able to respond. But
I can tell you might get a lot of phone calls this morning, and the numbers are 449-3095, 449-3096, and 449-3097. I told you, if I ask for the questions, the telephones are going to ring. This is the most talked about talk show. Talk to me.
Yes, good morning. I'm sorry I'll not be able to be at the lecture tonight, but I'm following her trend of discussion, and I'm wondering if she has accommodation for the hijacking of the political institutions by corporate bodies all over the world, including Dominica. I'm hoping that she can analyze what is happening and what causes the lack of participation of everyday people, because the influence of the corporate body that come into and pay for elections in election processes. Thank you. I hope you get my drift. Have a blessed evening.
Yes, absolutely. Unfortunately, in respect to this particular lecture, I will not be dealing too much with the issue of money in politics. But when I talk about...
But is it a concern?
It is. I mean, I'm going to look at it, but I'm not going to address it in full, because there is no question that there is a lot of influence peddling in Caribbean countries. There's no question that not only is the corporate community very much involved in terms of the decision making that is taking place. There's absolutely no question that foreign governments are very involved in the decision making process, and they are not accountable to the nation. And so clearly, when we talk about improving democracy in the region, getting us to the second level, because what we have done essentially in the region is to master, I would say, to a certain extent, the first level changes in terms of democracy. But in terms of getting to that other level, which is the second generation changes, we have not gotten there. And one of the clear instances of that failure is the fact that nowhere in the Caribbean, nowhere, absolutely nowhere, do we have adequate laws on the books that would treat the issue of political party and elections financing. And therefore, what we have is a tremendous gap. Not just, she talks about the corporate community, but it's not just the corporate community. I'm more concerned about the extent to which you have foreign governments involved in political decision making in the Caribbean. And I'm also very concerned about the possibility of there being criminals and criminal elements, drug pushers, etc., being able to enter the political arena precisely because we lack adequate, finance.
Is it that bad as it relates to the drug?
Certainly when we look at the Caribbean, for instance, Jamaica, there is absolutely no doubt that there is a connection between gangs, drugs, guns, and the political directorate. I mean, 2010 in Jamaica, when we had the events taking place in terms of Douglas Cook, made it very clear that is an issue. But the Jamaican situation may be extreme, but it's not to suggest that the other Caribbean countries do not have it to a lesser extent and lesser degree. The point is that we cannot really track it precisely because there are no laws on the books.
Because you seem to have particular concern about foreign governments and their influence. But what is the need, though, for these foreign governments in trying to push their influence in the Caribbean?
I'm not sure I lost you.
No, but you said, and you have a lot of interest as it relates to foreign governments and their particular interest in, I guess, shaping the democracies that they want to. What is in it, though, for these foreign governments?
Well, I'm not sure about shaping democracy. I'm not sure that is the
trend.
The politics of the foreign governments.
All right. But what is their interest in those?
Well, there are several. Mm-hmm. And I suppose what we need to do is to focus on particular foreign governments. If we take, for instance, one of the current trends in the Caribbean is for the Taiwanese-Chinese involvement in the politics. I think Dominica is no exception to that. And we do get a situation, therefore, that in a number of Caribbean countries, certainly St. Lucia is a glaring case, where we have the Taiwanese very much involved. And the question you're asking is, why would the Taiwanese get so involved? It is related to their politics with China. And what we know is that, of course, Taiwan is not really acknowledged at the level that they would desire at the United Nations. So that what they're trying to do is to get support from a number of countries internationally that would support their case at the United Nations. So they have their own domestic and international politics, and we are simply pawns in that game.
Very, very interesting. Yeah. 8:15, pawns in that political game there, international politics. Hello, good morning. Dollar diplomacy, they call it some in some areas. Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
Yes, good morning.
Grace, mercy, and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And good morning to Miss Joseph.
Morning.
And how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, and good morning to your guest, Matt.
Good morning.
I heard your guest indicated that some way, somehow, the exclusion of women in politics today. I would like to ask two questions. One, do you believe it's the system that excludes women, or the nature of politics in the Caribbean, you know, that excludes women? So I would like your guest. And welcome to Dominica.
Many thanks.
Welcome.
I'm not sure if I understand. Let me just focus on the latter, what you mean by the nature, because you didn't make it very clear. But certainly in terms of the rough and tumble of Caribbean politics, a number of women have suggested that they do not want to get involved in electoral politics. But in terms of the former, that is whether or not the institutions themselves have in fact precluded women from participating. I would say most definitely, and this is one of the arguments I'm raising this evening, that when we look at the institutional context of the political model that we have, it certainly does not encourage or invite women to participate. And secondly, I would also suggest that even the electoral system that we have in the region, that we seem to be so, I don't know, wedded to, is also another institution that precludes them. But fundamentally, I would argue that the problem has a lot to do with the nature of the political parties themselves, which are very much male-dominated.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yes.
Yeah, to everybody and your
guest.
Your
yes.
Keeping the show. This is my first time. I want to say, when it comes to politics and so in the region in particular, I want to say that the reason why the people are not interested in voting those days is because all people are not educated about the issues and are not able to analyze the political condition of the respective countries. We need to do more reading nationally, regionally, internationally. Most people are ignorant about what is going on around them. And this is one of the main reasons why we have ended up in this condition. Yeah, thank you.
Basically, he's not asking a question, he's making a statement. I'm sure you can get his drift.
Well, I do have a response to that. On two levels. One, it begs a question as to whether or not Caribbean people have ever really been issue-driven, and I'm not sure that is the case. Caribbean people have been very partisan in terms of the approach to politics, and that is a historical phenomenon in the Caribbean. Secondly, again, it begs a question, if you're saying so, then in a context where we have more educated people in the region, okay, if we're going to use the variable of education, why is it that historically, the 1960s and 1970s, the voter turnout was much higher? Okay, if you're going to link education with that, what explains that? So clearly it is broader than just the issue of the so-called ignorance of Caribbean people.
But what do you think it is?
Well, there are a whole host of factors. As I said before, for sure, I think there's a general disappointment on the part of the Caribbean electorate. And probably it has a lot to do with the fact that more and more Caribbean people are educated. Not that because they lack education, but because they are more educated and in a context where political leaders were able to sway the uneducated very easily. Today, more middle-class educated individuals are less likely to fall for some of the things that
the broomstick politics, I call it. 8:19. Hello. Good morning. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Matt.
Uh-huh.
How are you doing?
Good.
And good morning to your guest.
Yes.
You know, Matt, very interesting. The lady mentioned that the interest of Taiwan in the Caribbean and other parts of the world is probably seeking to get a recognition on the United Nations.
Uh-huh.
But China, mainland China, is already part of the United Nations. But they are having more influence in the Caribbean countries and other parts of the world. Could she at least try to advise us or give us an indication what is China's interest in really influencing the Caribbean country and other parts of the world? Thank you.
Well, like all superpowers, I suppose, if you're going to call China a superpower, they have already been interested in pushing the boundaries, in getting making an inroad in relation to not just the Caribbean. But I think there's another dimension to the Chinese interest as well. I'm not sure in relation to the Caribbean, but certainly in relation to Africa, for instance, where the Chinese tend to be more involved than in the Caribbean. Part of it is in terms of investment in the economy and helping to promote economic growth. So there are a whole host of factors that influence states in terms of their interest in particular hemispheres.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
All right. Very interesting guest this morning.
Yeah, very interesting guest. Kimon, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I am really sorry I can't be at the lecture tonight. I have not missed very many of them. But I would really love to be at this one. I need to ask a couple questions, though, with regard to the topic. It intrigues me, men in skirts. And I want to ask, firstly, if our lecturer here believes that somehow men in Caribbean politics today have probably yielded to their softer female sides. And consequently, we're having a politics now of a desire for immediate fix more than a desire for long-term solutions. And I'm asking that question vis-a-vis the knowledge of people like Dame Eugenia, Portia Simpson Miller, and some of these women who, during their political tenure, they seem to be able to make certain decisions that are very unpopular, but in their view, in their mindsets, that will augur well for the longer term development of the nation. I recall comparing Dame Eugenia with what's his name from St. Lucia during his time,
John Compton,
and it seemed to me that John Compton sometimes even yielded to Dame Eugenia Charles on a lot of decisions. Well, John Compton was a man, but he went to his political platform, and I was in St. Lucia then when he sang to his people, "Everything I do it for you," and it was like a quick fix. I'm wondering if there is some kind of implication there in terms of men yielding to their softer side. The other thing is, and I'm comparing that to the strength of the women in politics that we have seen. And somebody made a comment that I wanted to just ask you to elaborate on. Well, you may elaborate on it tonight, but I won't be there. In the exclusion of women in politics, sometimes I hear that term, and I wonder if we are not overplaying this term, whether it's really have not become cliched in terms of talking about the exclusion of women. Is there really an exclusion of women in politics, or have women decided that that is not for me? And I'm looking at that vis-a-vis, again, the statistics in terms of the level of education of women and the positions that they have held in the Caribbean regionally. And we're looking now at the USA, where certain women have taken some very key positions in politics as well. I'm looking at that vis-a-vis the men who get involved. Is it that these educated females figure this thing is below them, and so they don't want to get involved in it? Or is it that men are pushing them out? Because sometimes when people speak about that, you almost get the feeling that it's a man versus woman thing, and men don't want women in politics. When I look at it on the other hand, I probably see women saying, I ain't getting involved in this thing because this thing is not for me. I'd like to hear your comments on that.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is, and I think I have already forgotten the first point that you were making, because it's. I think it was very involved. Let me see if I can. The second one, which is easier, I think we are making an assumption about women and their interests. I think perhaps maybe what we need to do is to focus more on not necessarily an exclusion, but the lack of inclusiveness. I would think of the political model and the political parties. So exclusion versus inclusiveness, we can debate that. There are a number of reasons why women do not get involved politically, and hopefully we can generate some debate this evening. And on the question of the former, I am not sure that I quite understood, or if I did, that I in fact agree with the sentiments that you express. I don't know if men have yielded to the softer side. I do not know what softer side means in any
event. Oh, that you might never know.
I don't know, but I'm saying that an assumption was being made, or a statement was made that both men and women then tended to pass policies or initiate policies that were in the long-term interest of the nation. And I'm not sure if that is the case. Very often, historically, and even right up to this point, what we see is that they tend to sacrifice what might be in the long-term interest of the nation for immediate gratitude or immediate benefits. So that very often you have political leaders and governments actually perhaps focusing more on populist policies. And those populist policies are not always in the long-term interest of the government. And that takes place whether or not you have a woman in power or a man in power. We're going to talk about Eugenia Charles maybe a little later this evening. But I think it's a little too early for you to really get to a position where you can actually literally compare Portia Simpson Miller with Eugenia Charles, because Portia has not been in office long enough for us to engage in that kind of comparative analysis.
Good morning. Good morning. Nobody there. Are you the caller? Caller.
Yes, good morning. Yes. I think my own yield to softer side to woman is the fact that the man came from a woman, so he has to yield to woman. And I go back to the ancient of time, because all the great kings had a queen next to him, and she was the decision maker. And we have to go back to history. And if the woman was taking charge in the system, we wouldn't have the wars and problems in the world today. Because all the wars in the world today are done by men that's in control. Remember, woman is more than nature. She nurtures. So she should have to step up. I'm talking to all the ladies in these days and time. They have to step up the game and take control. I'm a man and I'll give them support. Because I came from a woman. I cannot be better than a woman. We have to listen to her because she is more than nature.
That's a different philosophy, all the same there. And very, do you think we should give it up to women?
Well, my response to that is thank you. But I don't think that we are really looking to dominate, subordinate. I think we are really looking to for equality. And if I may just quote an African proverb, which I think sometimes we need to refer to. You know, the most glorious thing that you see on the face of the earth is actually a bird. There's nothing more glorious than a bird. And what you find, therefore, is that if a bird has one wing, can't fly very well, not gloriously. So what is required is two wings.
The balance.
In other words, man and woman working in tandem, and we'll create a just society.
Good morning. Hello. Hello. Nobody there. It's 449-309-596. We take a little final phone call and wrap it up this morning. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Can
you hear me?
Very clearly.
Okay, I'll be pretty quick. I'm interested in finding out whether or not the lack of a strict ideological, political ideological concept within the democracy in the region has created the type of mobility that we're looking at in terms of what is the an approach towards the you know, the type of shifting agendas, shifting even ideologies. We do not yet, while we've had a long-term democratic presence in the region, we have not yet seen a strict ideological pattern, whether it is from one political side or the other. It's all a pluralist type system. So is the lack of a clear ideology that defines one group, one system, or another, creating that sort of issue that the professor is going to be discussing tonight?
Did you get adrift?
Not really. I'm not sure I understand what he means by ideology, etc. What I can say is that when we look at the Caribbean, since the 1970s, we don't seem to have an ideological divide in the Caribbean. So, and the best examples of that would have been Jamaica, where you had PNP, which was definitely socialist in orientation, and then you had the GLP, which was conservative, and of course Guyana, you had socialism in place. So, I am not sure again if that is what he's referring to. But in terms of the at the level of ideas, maybe one of the problems with the democracy in the region is that we seem to be trapped in an early understanding of what democracy constitutes. And what we're saying is that democracy is not something that is static. Democracy is something that is fairly flexible. And unfortunately, the Caribbean has not shown that degree of flexibility which is required.
Let me ask a question, because I know it's been encouraged a lot in Jamaica, where you come from. The issue of it's encouraging in Jamaica, though. The issue of debates, and we see a lot of political parties in the region sort of shying away, if you will, from political debates, especially around election time. And you said earlier, you spoke to the issue of issues where, you know, persons, Caribbean people, I know, not really interested in issue-oriented politics. But is it something that you would encourage around the Caribbean as it relates to political debates?
Do you mean debates between political
leaders?
Yes,
that's what I mean. Television?
Yes, but there seems to be a reluctance because I suspect...
Why?
I'm not sure, but I suspect that we are not particularly comfortable with engaging each other at the level of ideas. Those few debates I have seen, many old experienced political leaders have performed very dismally. And I think sometimes they feel they could be under attack from a younger, more vibrant, more educated, less fearful politician. Some of them are political animals. And so for that reason, we do not get. And television can be extremely cruel. You can't take it back. And so more often than not, you can't take it back. Just like the radio, you can't take it back. Once it's out there, it's out there. And so I think political leaders are less willing to stand up to that level of scrutiny. And it's part of our whole political culture. We don't like scrutiny. And again, that is one of the problems that we have in relation to the political model that we have right now in the country.
All right. My final question to you this morning is, do we have to blame the people of the Caribbean, because it's been said many times that people have more power than the politicians. We put them there most of the time. Should we maybe take back some of that power?
Yes, and it's a two-way process. The bottom line is that I think, and I have argued elsewhere, that until I suppose the Caribbean countries have arrived at a position where we have eliminated poverty, and when the need to be dependent on politicians is totally removed, we are going to continue with that situation. So part of it is embedded in the fact that historically and traditionally we have encouraged a system of patron clientelism, which is beneficial not only to those who already have, like the corporate community, but certainly to those who are less fortunate, and it's beneficial to the politicians because they can get a vote very easily without really having to work very hard for it.
How do we change that?
Again, it is related, as I said, two things. One, we certainly have to get engaged in regulating our laws as it relates to political parties and election financing. And secondly, we certainly have to do something about improving the standard of living of Caribbean people.
More tonight at the Fortune Hotel. Sounding good this morning. Cynthia Barrow. Giles, that's what it is. Thank you very much. Coming from St. Lucia, right?
St. Lucia.
Thank you very much.
This is my sister country.
Sister country. This is not the first time you're here.
No, it's not the first time I'm here.
Yeah.
It's not the first.
Let's talk again sometime. All right. See you tonight. Fortune Hotel, 7:30 p.m. Okay? Men in Skirts, Gender and Democracy and Shaping the Nation, The Unfinished Democratic Agenda. That's tonight at the Fortune Hotel. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great one. Have a great day.
Line customers, from now till December 31, get twice the mobile data on your plan. Know what that means? Double tweets, posts, and messages to invite double the friends and family for Christmas, which means double the hugs and kisses. That's how you share the cheer. Lime, value every moment.
The season comes down to this kick.
And he goes, Santa shoots, scores, goal! Santa wins the game! Santa wins the championship!
Santa, are you daydreaming again?
With Lime's new offer, even Santa caught the football fever.
Buy a BlackBerry this Christmas and get a free gift. Plus, your purchase automatically puts you in the running to win tickets to the big football game in Brazil. Catch the football fever with Lime. Lime, value every moment.
Cash Whiz. For all your diamonds, silver, and gold. Come down to Cash Whiz. If you want to get quick cash or a loan. Come down to Cash Whiz. If you want to buy or you want it sold. Come down to Cash Whiz. Everything sold right here at Cash Whiz. Video games, laptops, TVs, silver, gold, all your jewelry. Cash Whiz is the place to go if you want to buy or you want it sold. Get Cash
fresh on the spot. Customer service top of the top. Merchandise below market prices. Cashwiz, that's what the choice is. Check us out at cashwiz.com or follow us on Facebook.
First Domestic is doing it again. Introducing Pay As You Go on all insurance policies. We understand these challenging financial times, so it's First Domestic to the rescue. Pay As You Go. If you don't have the full upfront sum of cash to pay your 12-month insurance coverage, just pay as you go. Comprehensive and full comprehensive pay as you go on 3 months, 6 months, or 12 months. Or third party of 6 months or 12 months. Avoid the inconvenience of getting a ticket or having to have your vehicle towed away. Pay as you go. Yes, and you even get the benefits of no excess on claims. It's insurance tailored with you or customers in mind. Expect more quality insurance coverage because at FDIC, our stability secures your future. Terms and conditions apply. Pay as you go. Only at First Domestic Insurance. Now keep going.
We all need to feel safe, no matter what life brings our way. With United Insurance, you can be sure your vehicle, home, business, and other prized possessions are well protected. United offers a comprehensive range of general insurance solutions to suit your needs. And our excellent AM Best ratings says we have the financial strength to protect your assets. Across the Caribbean, we have a track record of helping clients get back on their feet quickly after disaster strikes, providing prompt, professional, exceptional service. So whatever life brings your way, trust United to protect the things you value most. You're in safe hands with United. For more information, contact your nearest United agent today. Call JB Charles & Company Limited at 448-2876, CAM Dupini at 448-3012, or LA Dupini & Company Limited at 448-2310.
You're in safe hands with United.
Dominica, get ready for big football action at the Windsor Park Stadium Saturday, November 30th and Sunday, December 1st. Yes, football lovers, come see the Nature Boys battle it out with the guys from the Helen of the West, St. Lucia, in two international friendly. All matches start from 6 p.m. and the price is only $10. Yes, you heard right.
The price is only $10 per game.
Calling on Dominicans from Scottsdale to Capuchin, from Salisbury to Carib Territory. Come with your drums,
horns,
whistles, and bandanas. Come cheer our guys on. Remember the date, Saturday, November 30th and Sunday, December 1st at the Windsor Park Stadium. Dominica versus St. Lucia
in two friendly international.
This football action is brought to you compliments Mapping 2K4, DBS Radio, and Lime Dominica.
Yesterday, we've been told that the second child of the Prime Minister was born yesterday. Is the name Dimitri? Sounds Russian, huh? Somebody says it's Dimitri. All right. Guess it's how you choose to pronounce it. I'm not the godfather, I wouldn't know. 8:39! But following the birth of that child yesterday, a lot of debate on as to, you know, why was that child born in the United States and not Dominica? I will talk a little about that. I know, yeah, you like that. Was the Prime Minister sending the right signal when he allowed his second child to be born outside of Dominica? Some people might say it's his choice. Some people are saying, well, you know what? He's sending the message that he's not confident in our health system. And then somebody asked me, Matt, you know what? Do some research and find out whether any leader in any part of the world had his child born outside of his country. Somebody told me, I'll tell you what I was told later. I don't want anybody linking anything around here. But we're here speaking with the Global Wealth Trade Corporation. Yes, expanding into Dominica, introducing its designer brands to the market through working with local luxury consultants, entrepreneurs like, yes, Cheryl. Out of St. Lucia. She's here with us this morning. Along, Cheryl is the luxury consultant with the new Global Wealth Trade Corporation. They'll tell us all about what's going on here. But they're here in studio this morning, spend a few minutes with us out of St. Lucia this morning. Well, we have had two St. Lucians.
Yes.
Before that, we had a political scientist out of St. Lucia.
Oh,
now,
really?
We have trade consultants.
Yes. Hi, morning, Matt.
Good morning, Matt.
Cheryl Francis. Happy to be back. Of course, I've started my career in Dominica. You would have probably remembered me from Cable and Wireless. So I'm a Dominican. I love Dominica.
Of course.
I have family in Dominica. You know what I mean?
Yes. Cheryl is the godmother of my son.
I know.
Yes.
You know. So she's actually Dominican. Well, welcome back.
Yes,
man.
Thank you.
So, Anne?
And Sybil Snacks from St. Lucia as well.
Oh, okay. All right. So, what are you guys doing in Dominica this time?
So, we are here. We are Global Wealth Trade Luxury Consultants. And Global Wealth Trade is a Canadian designer fashion house. And we have positioned ourselves as a successful home business in direct sales, in the direct sales industry. We have designer jewelry and goods. Not your typical store brands. They are designed, you know, completely on par with luxury goods like, you know, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and other designers.
So what is the mission in Dominica then?
Well, we have decided to expand in Dominica. Matt, this has exploded in St. Lucia. We have found another way of bringing in additional revenue. So most of us work, we have our daily jobs, but we have recognized that apart from your daily job, I mean, now everybody's looking for some additional income. And this business has really brought this to a lot of St. Lucian persons. You know, we are less dependent on our governments to give us jobs. And so we have found this in Global Wealth Trade to be able to bring in that additional income.
So how does that work?
Well, we come and we show the business opportunity for Global Wealth Trade to any and everybody who is willing to listen. So yesterday and Tuesday, we actually did business presentations at Crazy Coconuts from 6 o'clock. We had quite a few persons who showed interest. We even had some Dominicans who've actually come into the business, who've actually made the investment, purchased their own company. Because one of the reasons why we're coming into Dominica, and we're not just going to stop at Dominica, we're going into other Caribbean islands, is our company wants to become the number one designer brand in the world. The only difference between us and other designer brands is the way in which we choose to market and distribute our products. So we don't have any stores physically on the ground in the world. All of our distribution is done through our luxury consultants.
All right. I mean, I'm happy that you guys are in Dominica, but these days we're having a lot of employment issues. So, I mean, your people can create employment for the sales, here's the opportunity that you guys have provided.
Yes.
All right, so if I'm listening out there and I want to get involved, I want to make some money at home, you know, there are a lot of young people unemployed at this time, and, you know, all political parties, if you will, are trying to find areas of trying to get employment for these young people out there. Not only young people, there are people out there who just, you know, can't find a job. And here's another an opportunity through the Global Wealth Trade Corporation. So how do I get involved? I'm saying I because, yes. You know, I'm just pretending to be somebody out there looking for that kind of opportunity.
Yes. Can I just, I just want to make a, not to correct, but just to clarify. We're not here to employ anybody.
No.
What we're here to do is to give people financial control over their lives, giving them an opportunity to invest in a company and share in the wealth of a designer brand, unlike other companies like Louis Vuitton and Gucci, who simply hold all their wealth to themselves. Our company gives you that opportunity. So you basically make an investment. It can be as small as $169 Canadian, as high as $3,099 Canadian, wherever it is that you feel comfortable making that investment.
Let's get the numbers again.
As low as $169 Canadian, which is less than 500 EC, or as high as $3,099 Canadian. So you make that investment, you get your own online website, you get products with the company, and the company teaches you and trains you how to build and to market your business. So that is really what it is. And so all really it is owning your own company,
That's exactly
and
what
doing
I mean.
All that is necessary to expand it and to earn that wealth.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. It's 8:46 in the morning. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. Hi, JL. I'll be talking to you in a minute, okay?
We all need to feel safe, no matter what life brings our way. With United Insurance, you can be sure your vehicle, home, business, and other prized possessions are well protected. United offers a comprehensive range of general insurance solutions to suit your needs. And our excellent AM Best ratings says we have the financial strength to protect your assets. Across the Caribbean, we have a track record of helping clients get back on their feet quickly after disaster strikes, providing prompt, professional, exceptional service. So whatever life brings your way, trust United to protect the things you value most. You're in safe hands with United. For more information, contact your nearest United agent today. Call JB Charles & Company Limited at 448-2876, CAM Dupini at 448-3012, or LA Dupini & Company Limited at 448-2310.
You're in safe hands with United.
All right, Dominica, 947. Yeah, if there are any opportunities or persons out there who want to call in and speak to this person's here, here's the excellent opportunity to do that, okay? 449-3095, 449-3096, 97, and 616-4257. Any questions, they're here. Feel free to call in and ask. An excellent opportunity for you out there, okay? And investing in your own business with a, of course, internationally acclaimed business out there in Canada. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Miss Francis,
I
heard you last night.
How are you?
Fine.
Nice to hear you.
Justin is saying hi. Imagine in the morning. It's 8:48, and that's the morning time. But tell me though, are there any other? You had some guest opportunities at Crazy Coconut yesterday.
Yes.
Are you providing any other opportunity for persons to come in and talk to you?
Yes, we are in Portsmouth. Well, I think it's Anse de May.
To
be exact.
View.
Atlantic View Resort and Spa. We will be providing transportation. We'll be meeting one of our Elsies who's working down at the hotel. She's a St. Lucian.
Nadia Lord.
She will be with us this evening as well. So we are providing transportation from Portsmouth, the bus stop for Anse de May. And persons will be taken to the resort.
And it's at 6 p.m. this evening that we commence the presentation.
6 p.m.?
6 p.m., yes.
Tonight, okay. I know, people are very curious in Dominica. How soon after you make that initial investment that you may start reaping the benefits, if you will?
It's all in your hands, Matt. Yes. It's all in your hands. You determine how quickly this happens for you. It can almost be instantly, because instantly you purchase or you join the business, you get, you know, a package that provides you with all of your products to sell. And so, you know, you can start as soon as you want to.
But can I just add, we tell people this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is like any other business. Correct. That you have to put effort into it, because Cheryl and I are from St. Lucia and we're here in Dominica. So it goes to show the extent to which we are prepared to go to actually build our business and expand it. So effort is required. And the effort that you put in is the reward that you are going to get out.
All right. Here's another question, maybe my final question this morning, because we have seen many businesses come and go.
Yes.
They call them fly by night.
Yes.
How confident are we that this one is going to bear fruit, if you will?
Yes. That is a wonderful, wonderful question, Matt, and a question that both Cheryl and myself have actually asked. And we tell people, our company is very young. We started in 2005, so we're not yet 10 years old. But because of the kind of products that we are actually in, we have very unique products. We have created our own metal. We're the only company that does 19 and 21 karat gold. And we are competing with designer brands. So we really are not a fly-by-night company. We're not selling health products and we're not selling diet pills. So this is a company that in its products by itself has longevity. So we are very confident that this company is going to be around for a very, very long time.
I suspect it will be. All right, 8:50 is the morning time. And Dominica, we've got to wrap up at this time, given, you know, we have a radiothon coming up. We're trying to raise some money for the kids here for Christmas. And we'll do that sometime about 9:30 this morning. And we'll get into QTS as well. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Cheryl's the name.
Hi, good morning.
Cheryl, she wants to know your surname.
Francis.
Yes. You know, why was that important? I don't know. Dominicans are going to ask all kind of questions. 8:51 is the morning time, but let's have your closing comments before you go. And I'm hoping that let's take another phone call, this time from the overseas line. Hello. Final question for our folks here, huh?
Good morning to your panel.
Morning.
Can I get a website so I can read your reviews?
Of course, that's something you will need to do. So it's www.globalwealthtradecorporation.com.
Are there numbers if they want to follow up with questions?
Yes, can we? We will give you our personal information. My email address is cenac25@hotmail.com. And my phone number is 285-9099. And Cheryl?
Yes. And my email is Cheryl, cheryl.i.francis@gmail.com. And our numbers, of course, area code 1-758-484-6446.
And you can contact us at any time.
Anytime. Hello. You're 24 hours. Hello. Hello. Somebody was on the telephone, but I imagine had to go. But let me say a special thank you to you. Let me have your closing comments. Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, we just want to invite Dominicans out. Well, our last presentation is in Portsmouth, Anse de May. And this is an opportunity for you guys to come out and, you know, take control of your financial life. There's really minimal risk involved in this. And we just want you to take the opportunity to come, hear what we have to say. And,
yes.
Sibel?
And this company is providing a very unique opportunity, not just for St. Lucians, but for Dominicans, who are willing and who most desire to change their lives and those of their families. So we are asking people to come out to simply give us a listening ear, and we are so very generous. We also give our $200 gift certificates just for coming out to listen.
Really?
Yes, we do.
All right, I'll be there. See you around.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Good
so
luck.
Much.
Good luck. Good luck. I know the question now. We have 5 minutes for that, though. morning, hello.
What's the question, Matt?
The big question this morning, I've been bombarded with text messages from yesterday. Somebody asking me, Matt, was it a good decision that the Prime Minister had his baby born in another country?
I believe it's his choice.
Is his choice?
Yes.
Or do you think he's sending the right signal?
What signal is he sending? He's his choice.
I know. Read the health system.
The health system has nothing to do with that. Has okay. Anyone of your kids been born over?
Yeah, that's what, the same point I was making yesterday, but as it relates to all my kids being born out of state. No, one is born here and one is born in the United States. But I'm not the Prime Minister. Hello, good morning. Hello, talk to me.
Hello, good morning, Matt.
Yes, tell me.
Matt, this is Steve Benjamin.
Yes, Steve.
I want to congratulate the PM on the birth of his second son.
Uh-huh.
Just this year, I had a beautiful daughter born at the Princess Margaret Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But as Prime Minister of this country, it is very, very, very disappointing.
Why is it disappointed?
The Prime Minister appears to have absolutely no confidence in the health system in this country, specifically the maternity ward. And we are aware that there is a virus killing babies in the hospital. But what is worse?
But if you're saying that according to your information there's a virus killing babies, why would the Prime Minister want his baby to be born in that situation?
No, but the Prime Minister is responsible for all the ministries. For you to have destroyed the health sector, and then because you have access to resources, you send your wife to America. What are you telling the Dominicans you tell to continue to say, I am Dominican, are you? Why are you telling the people living in America and England to come back to Dominica and retire? You're telling the students when they finish study, come back to Dominica and live. Are you suggesting that when they have to make their babies, they go overseas? Matt, to be honest, this is telling you that the Prime Minister personally believes that this country is going to hell in a handbasket, and he is not proud that his children are Dominicans.
Good morning, but I think his first son was born in Dominica. Good morning, hello. So, hello.
Good morning, Matt, and good morning to all Dominicans.
Yeah.
Matt, where was man John born? Patrick Johnson, where was he born?
I think Dominica, was it?
Okay, number two. Matt, we do not want to know where the Prime Minister baby born. That should be instead in his bedroom. What we want to know in Dominica, question like, what is in the memorandum of understanding?
Okay, well, that is your agenda this morning. But we're asking the question all the same because it is an interesting subject. As a matter of fact, I learned this morning that all the children of John Compton was born in St. Lucia. Good morning, hello.
Why not Morocco?
Why not Morocco? Good morning, hello, talk to me.
Yes, good morning, Matt. We have a new age.
Yes.
Remember, it's not the Prime Minister who's carrying the baby. I'm not a Labour, right? I do support the Labour Party and I do support Skerry.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a baby that is born into the world.
And it doesn't really matter. You say it doesn't matter where that baby is born.
No, because if the mother is involved. What about if the mother was part of the decision of where the baby should be born? The Dominicans must leave those issues.
But tell me, though, do you think, though, I mean, let's be very objective about it. Is it sending the right signal when, this happens, that the Prime Minister, if you will, his wife, decides that, you know, we're going to have our new baby and let's decide that this baby should be born in another country? I'm just saying, do you think it's sending the right signal, though?
I don't find that has anything to do with the political process of Dominica.
That's all right. Well, thank you very much. What about we being patriotic about it? Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Matt, if it was me and I had a woman that could do a baby overseas, I don't see nothing wrong in that.
Nothing wrong with that. Okay.
Nothing wrong in that.
All right. Okay, thank you very much. I guess they may be thinking of the future of that child. Well, I did say, though, I know it's going to be the topic of the street this morning, but our time is limited. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Good
How you doing, man?
To get this thing straight, I'm not in the family that, but to get this thing straight, when he had his son, he was not a prime minister yet.
No, he was not, no. Okay, so you're basically trying to dismiss the point I made earlier about his son being born in Dominica. All right, well, more opportunities. Hello, good morning, hello.
Hi, good morning, Matt.
How you doing?
Yeah. You know, I'm very much surprised, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The country that the prime minister has been bashing the most is America. And to see, well, hugging the communist and dictatorship countries and really... is America he's sending his wife to make a baby. That is really disgusting. Because you know why? Because he is boasting how he's bringing the future of Dominica to the sky with diamond. At the same time, he is telling us that we in Dominica, wait for it, is going to be doomsday for us. And his children and himself will go to America. And that's the way I'm looking at it. So when he wants to escape, he will go to America.
You know, somebody says, man, it's not only about the birth of the baby, you know. It's the fact that any number of government ministers who fall sick would not receive medical treatment at the PMH. They get sick. There's a helicopter on Lindo Plainfield, Lindo Mad Plainfield, waiting to airlift them to Guadeloupe or Martinique. So the prime minister would never have his wife deliver the baby in Dominica. Boy, look, telephone calls. Hello, talk to me.
Morning,
how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Yes.
Just now, Obama will come for the gunfight war.
That's what it is? Well, I guess he'll have to come for my son as well. Good morning. Hello, talk to me. Hi.
Yeah, good morning, Matt.
Uh-huh.
Matt, that the prime minister has no confidence in our health system. And that also tells me that he's not a good example in telling people to be patriotic. Thank you.
Matt, I don't see the issue of the baby being born in the U.S. I really think it's the issue of opportunities. And many children of the Caribbean parents are born in the U.S. not because of the lack of confidence in the health system, but because of the opportunities. And I think the Prime Minister may be thinking the same. Good morning. Hello, talk to me.
Morning, Matt.
Yes.
I say and wonder why America? Why not Iran or Iraq? Those people he praises. That's all I
can. All right. Good morning. Hello.
Last time from Mr.
All right, good morning. Hello, talk to me.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, a hot topic this morning there. Hello. Yes, good morning.
We're talking about the hot topic about the Prime Minister's baby.
Yeah, some people are saying, well, you know, he's not sending the right signal. Do you believe that?
No, I believe that's a man's privacy. There's a privacy there.
Good morning, hello. You know, I'll tell you something about this. This privacy, you know, persons are suggest. Once you become a politician, darling, your business is no longer private. Don't you see it on the television all over the place? Good morning, check Obama. If he breathes too hard, the Americans are told about it. Good morning, hello.
Yes, Matt, good morning.
To you.
I wish I had much more money to
on your phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, darling. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Where was Majid born?
No. That is already established. I did say
right,
my son.
So
oh, hold on. We're not making noise. We're having a little discuss. I did say that my son was born in the United States. And again, I did add too that Matt Peltier is not the prime minister. Go ahead.
No, but then it's the same opportunity you probably want.
No, but you when you send the issue of patriotism, I my personal thought on it, I think it's his choice. But there are a number of persons debating out there that he's not sending. So don't attack me personally. I don't have anything, you know, personal against this. So, you know, I'm saying that's the prime minister's choice. But there's some people saying that he's sending the wrong signal. And that's what the debate is about. It's not about Matt Peltier. The prime minister sending the right message about the health system. That's all this debate is all about. It's not about Matt Peltier and whether his son was born in the United States. I have no problem with that. Good morning. Hello.
Hello,
Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am there.
Yeah, go ahead, darling. I personally have no problem with that.
The same opportunity you probably want for Majid is the same opportunity he probably want for his own.
No, but I'm not saying I don't have a problem with that, darling. I don't. Personally, the Prime Minister can choose to send or have his children born elsewhere, if you will. That's his business. I'm just saying that persons are now saying he is sending the wrong signal as it relates to our health system as the leader of this country.
You not saying it.
What, you're really not listening to me, darling. You're trying to attack me this morning when I'm telling you I don't have any problem with it. Okay, good morning. Hello.
You would spend the rest of the year there, you know. Where ignorance is in abundance, King, it is folly to be wise, you know. That is why, Matt, I really want to run away from this country because the mental landscape is conducive for criminals to flourish. All manner of disrespect. Matt, I say, let me break my silence for a minute because I really want to just stay quiet. But, Matt, that is the level of ignorance that exists. Oh, it has nothing to do with politics. Matt, come on, Matt. Look at just... We do not understand governance, the basic principle of governance, Matt. So we're making all manner of silly excuses when we are being violated by Roosevelt's carrot and this administration, Matt. Madam, they're listening. It was not my intention to call, just to listen. But, Matt, the excuses. Matt, I'm sorry for Dominica, Matt. Blessings.
All right, good morning. Hello. I'm gonna ask Mr. Lennox. No. Okay. 9:06 is the morning time. We'll be asking your question as it relates to the next stop in the 21:25 before we move on to our next guest. Good morning, quickly.
Morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Matt, people never understand.
Yeah.
They don't understand the issue. It's an issue, Matt.
But I'm being attacked here when I'm saying I'm not the Prime Minister. I don't have that decision to make. Good morning, hello.
Matt, would the American people stand for Obama to make his wife have a child in Russia?
What's that?
Would the American people stand if Obama's wife would get pregnant now and you have the child born in England? Would the American people not go to start to him for that?
Yeah, I think they
Matt,
would.
The problem is, Matt, there we are in Dominica talking about going to a next level, right? There we are on, we do everything talk about patriotism. Where? If the next level isn't good for your child, how is it good for me and my children?
I guess with everything that's been said this morning, everybody's going to take that opportunity, if they can, to go to the United States and have their babies. But I know this is the topic of the street this morning. Believe me, it's going to continue, and people are going to attack Matt this morning. It's okay. Lennox Linton, good morning. You're not here for that.
I want to congratulate the Prime Minister and his wife for the birth of their new baby.
Yes.
I understand the baby was born in the United States. I don't know what the circumstances were. I don't know what the facts are, and you know me, Matt, where I do not know any of those things, I choose not to comment. But the fact of the matter is, what we know is that the baby was born. Mrs. Melissa Skerritt has had a baby yesterday, and I want to wish the couple well. And the newborn, you know, newborns have a way of changing our lives for the better. And that's exactly what I wish for Mrs. Skerritt in terms of the impact that this young child could have on his style of governance in Dominica.
Well, Lennox, quickly, because we have limitations of time. As it relates to 21 and 25, where
we're going to the Maho constituency today. Tomorrow we will be in Roseau Central, so we may see you, Matt. You may get a chance to have a look at what we do, how we do. And on Saturday we'll be in the Soufriere constituency. That's Point Michel's Court said Galleon and so on. It's gone wonderfully well so far, and we're looking to close, bring the curtains down, the grand finale at the Portersville Savannah. You heard about that, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah, Portersville Savannah.
On Sunday, December 1.
Sunday, December 1.
Congratulations to Joshua. Great lunch.
Well, yeah.
Declaration.
Oh, you were there. You were live with that. Carlisle John Baptist was helping you there. Breaking news from the Lubia Resource Center. Well, it was a great day that started well. We say well begun is half done, and the way that day started yesterday, it foretold what was to come, and it was indeed awesome. Going through Eggleston and Girardelle and Lubier and Castle Comfort and Wallhouse, and coming back to do Newtown and Citronier, and we walked through, we were doing a walk through Citronier all the way on the flat there through Newtown, both sides of the road, and rush hour traffic yesterday afternoon. That was kind of exciting, and seeing the people in their circumstances, in their challenges, and hearing their concerns. Something is happening, Matt. Something is sweeping in the air there, especially among the young people of this country. That's as much as we've been able to find out on Coast to Coast in 25. This is a beautiful, blessed, but broken country, and we need to fix it. And we think we have the right vision. We have the right understanding of Dominica, where it is right now. And we have the program going forward to get that done. So that is what we will focus on Sunday. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, grand rally to commemorate the close of 21 and 25. Some of us didn't think we would get to the end, but we are almost there now. I'm seeing the finish line, Matt.
And you still look very, you know, energized.
Well, Matt, I may look better than I feel.
I heard Mr. Edison James saying, you know, you think he has a little... No, we'll stop.
No. Edison James is entitled to say what he wants. I have the final say on the fitness matter. Right? God bless you, Matt.
We'll talk. Take care.